Father, we come before you and we are so thankful that that song is a reality. And we pray that today you would fill us more and more of you. And so, God, we want to give you this time to just block out the things of this world, block out any concerns, fears, worries, and that as our heart is open, we just want, God, your word to guide us. For you have the answer to every life issue. You have the wisdom that we all need. So we come desiring to hear from you. Speak to us this morning, we ask. In Jesus' precious name, amen. 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 Well, good morning, church. So good to see everybody. Go ahead and have a seat. We are going to continue in our study in the book of Colossians. And so if you would do me a favor and raise your hand if you do not have a Bible. We want to make sure that you can follow along with us. And if you do not have one personally, Merry Christmas. That's a gift to you from us. Okay? And while you're turning there, I just want to encourage you that we are going to be having our water baptism on February 26th after the second service. And so if you have not been water baptized, we want to invite you to be a part of that. You can get more information at the Connection Center, and we would love to have you participate in that. Also, today we have Switchpoint with us as our community partner. And so we're going to get an opportunity to watch a video and then hear from Paul, who's going to share a little bit more. And the purpose for us doing this is so that way we, as God is filling our heart and ministering to us, that we have opportunities to reach back into our community. And this is a great way for us to do this. And so when we hear more about ministries and we invite other people, just be praying and asking the Lord how you would want to lead you into being an instrument or partnering with them, however the Lord would lead you. And so why don't we all welcome Paul? Come on up, bro.
Thank you, Pastor Jerry. Can we run the video?
There are many reasons that could lead someone to be homeless, and it's not our place to judge what those might be. It's our place to help.
If you don't understand the underlying trauma of why someone made a behavior choice, and you don't get to the real root of it, who are we to judge why they made that decision? And that's the biggest lesson I've learned in operating Switchpoint is, you know, be kind, because we don't know the battle that someone is facing.
Well, we try to tell everybody if you need food, come. We help. We do not turn anybody away. We help everyone.
If you're constantly, every single day, having to think to yourself, how am I going to get dinner tonight? Or where am I going to shelter tonight? There is no chance at all that you're going to be able to fully invest yourself in the community to make the entire community better.
A switch point is the mechanism on a train track that with just a little bit of a movement sends you in a completely different direction. Our model at Switch Point is to be that change where they become the switch point in their own lives. And we do that by providing education, advocacy, classes, resources that teach the client how to be empowered on their own. And we become their best cheerleader. That's how we are the switch point.
Switch Point Community Resource Center has focused on solving homelessness. And we did that by starting a homeless shelter. And then we knew that that was not going to solve homelessness. So we added on to our family of services lots of things. So we added on a food pantry and case management. And then we thought, we need to put these people to work. So we thought, let's do microenterprises, businesses. So we added on thrift stores and we added on doggy daycare.
The energy of the staff and the entire organization, it's in constant motion, constant growth, constant thinking of what else can we do for clients and what else can we do to serve the community, to keep people safe.
Good morning, everybody. My name's Paul. I'm the assistant manager at the emergency food pantry at Switch Point. And my wife's sitting in the back. Her name is Faith. And I have lots of faith in my life. And we call CCSG our home church. So I'm here this morning to kick off the Switch Point CCSG food drive and tell you more about Switch Point and how you can help serve the community if you desire. I asked my wife how I did on the first one. She said I smiled a lot. And I said, well, I'm asking for food and money. So I'm going to do it with a smile. I'm going to do it with a smile. Now, earlier, Pastor Guy asked if any of you had blood in your system. I'm going to ask any of you if you have a heart in your chest. How come no one's raising their hand? Come on. Okay, better than the first service. All right, so there's a lot of services at Switch Point because I'm so closely tied to the pantry. We're going to talk about that today. The pantry serves those in the community in need of food on a weekly basis, or some get it by twice a week. We serve about 80 to 100 families a day. We're open 5 days a week. That can equate anywhere from 300 to 400 people a day that we're feeding in the community. These people have a lot of different circumstances. At Switch Point, we don't ask why they come, and we don't judge why they're there. We just ask them to fill out an application, and we give them food. So if someone comes in and says, Mr. Paul, I need some food, we give them food. Those boxes usually have dry goods in them. Fresh fruits, vegetables, dairies, eggs, meats when available. Everybody always gets a little bit of all of that. It's enough to keep you going for a week, depending on the size of your family. The food that we get is provided from the Utah Food Bank and all the local grocery stores and retailers around town. So the food bank deploys a couple trucks every day. And they go to the Lynn's and the Smith's and the Costco's and the Walmart's, and they pick up all their food, and then they bring it to us. Now, we do have a saying at the pantry, if the grocery store could sell it, we wouldn't get it. So something to keep in mind sometimes when you come in. Today, we're kind of driving the food drive, so we're looking for some of our immediate needs, our peanut butter, canned chicken and tuna, one-pound bags of rice, pasta. Of course, we'll take cash. We'll always take cash. Cash helps us focus in on maybe some of the areas or the foods that we're not getting donated or that isn't coming in from the food bank of our supplier. So cash is always great. But I want you to know that we greatly appreciate all your donations, no matter what they are. We greatly appreciate them. So thank you. Next slide. So there are a few other additional services that Switch Point offers. As you heard in the video, we're a homeless shelter, and we have a wide range of things that we offer. We have housing all over the area that we put folks in when needed. There's people that come, that get out of prison, and they're ready to start their lives, and so we need to find places for them. There's parents that become a single all of a sudden, so there's lots of different situations of how we place our people and where we place our people. We have Stepping Stones, our 24/7 childcare. Just opened that last year. It's just off the boulevard in St. George, and it's a really nice place. The Rise Garden Greenhouse just opened last year as well. That's located on the Switch Point campus behind the pantry. We grow lettuce and vegetables and herbs that we sell to the hospital and restaurants, and we go to farmers markets and things like that. And then there's a thrift store and a boutique also on campus. And we have Beds and Biscuits, which is our pet daycare and boarding facility. Next slide. So if you say, Mr. Paul, I don't want to donate any food or money. I'd rather volunteer. Excellent. We'll take you. The kitchen needs you. We currently have, CCSG currently has a team of folks who support the kitchen once a month. So I think Bruce is the one that runs that. So if you're interested, let me know or let Bruce know. The Rise Garden's always looking for people. Stepping Stones is looking for people as well. You got to have a food handler's permit, but there's other things that you can do there. Next slide. Beds and Biscuits, if you really like dogs and cats, that might be a place where you want to hang out. The thrift store, there's a thrift store on campus, and then there's the boutique, which is over off of Red Cliffs. Next slide. So that's it. In closing, as Pastor Jerry always says, it's only another 10 minutes. Just kidding. Just a little joke. Yeah. So only 20 more slides. If you're interested in donating or volunteering, my wife and I will be out in the West Commons answering questions. There's brochures out there. So whatever you want to ask. In closing, I just have a quick verse from Hebrews 13:16. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Pastor Jerry and your team, for all your support.
That was too funny. All right, here we go. Colossians chapter 3. Let's all stand. All right. For those of you who are here for the first time, welcome. And of course, if you're watching online, we want to welcome you as well. We're blessed that you're joining us this morning. And so let's go ahead and begin in chapter 3, verse 12. It says here, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Father, we come before you, and we are so thankful for the truth that we have before us today. And we desire for you to continue the work that you began in our hearts, that as we surrender, you come in and you reveal to us what your plans are, what your desires are. And as we learn, may we live out those things that you're teaching us. So bless this time now. Holy Spirit, come. Fill this place. Fill our hearts. Give us understanding and empower us to live for you today. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So as we've been going through the book of Colossians, I hope and pray that it's been ministering to your heart. And I'm excited because, you know, the last several Sundays of us getting into the Word, we've seen many people being ministered to by the Lord and making confessions of faith. And I think in the last 2 weeks, there's been about 20 plus people who have said, I want to follow Jesus. And that's an amazing praise report. Yes. And as we have these opportunities, again, the reason why we gather is so we can continue to learn how to live for Jesus. And this has been Paul's desire in these last few studies. And again, from chapter 3 until the closing of the letter, it's application time. It's taking what God's teaching us, and now how are we going to live it out in practical ways? And so many of you already know, whenever we see this word therefore, we got to go back and remember why it's there, what was said before. And so looking at this, Paul encouraged us to put to death the old things, those earthly ways that were within us, get rid of them, get rid of our old habits, get rid of that old sinful nature and our behaviors that we once walked in and now live in the new. See, this was Paul's encouragement to us. And not only that, but as we take off the old and put on the new, he gave us some key things how to accomplish that. How are we to grow in Christ? And we looked at several different Bible verses to help us understand that light and darkness do not mix. When we come to this understanding that when we make a confession of faith, do you realize that our lives were purchased by Christ on the cross? So we no longer belong to ourselves, we belong to Jesus. And not only do we need to put to rest our old ways, but the way that we do that, we looked at Romans chapter 12, by the renewing of our minds. As we get into God's word, as we continue to open up our heart to him, he comes in, and through his Holy Spirit, along with his word, both of them together, our lives are radically changed from the inside out. Isn't that awesome? Amen. I love this because here's the truth. You do not have to clean yourself up to come to Jesus. And if you've ever had that mindset, or, you know, I can recall, you know, as a person who didn't go to church, and if somebody invited me, I would make comments like, oh, you don't want me to go to your church because it might fall. That's not true, right? God welcomes everyone. Come as you are. But here's the thing. When we surrender our hearts, we don't stay the same. And so this has been Paul's encouragement. Let that renewing happen as we understand all that God has done for us. And as we give him our heart, then he comes in and he changes us from the inside out. And then we start walking in a different way. And it's a 180 degree change. And it's a beautiful thing when the Lord does that. And so, and that change and that process is not going to stop until we see Jesus. So we're a constant work. God is working in and through our hearts. And I hope many of you noticed verse 11, I didn't expound on last week. Did you guys notice that? Some of you are like, oh, I don't even know there was a verse 11. Right? But notice what it says in verse 11. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, nor free, but Christ is all and in all. And I didn't share that purposely because I believe it fits very well with what we're getting ready to now go into in this next section. And the heart behind this is to understand that as we are saved, as we are born again, we belong to God's family now. Okay? That means everybody in here who has made a confession of faith, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are family. Amen. And I'm glad you said amen, because some of you are like, I don't really like this family. Some of you might be looking around and going, well, you know, I don't think that brother should be here or that sister. You know, and I'll say this over and over again. Listen, you and I don't get to pick and choose. It's not your decision. This is God's family. And God picks and chooses who he's going to allow in. And God's heart is that all would come into the saving knowledge of who he is. And so we need to remember these things, because as family, we need to realize that heaven is not just for a specific group of people. It's not just for those who are educated or those who have a CEO title. It has nothing to do with status. Your allowance into heaven comes from whether you believe in Jesus or not. And that is a blessing, because if anybody ever told you you needed to earn your way into heaven, it is not biblical counsel. It is through faith alone and what Christ did on the cross that allows us into heaven. And so here is where the beautiful blessing, as brothers and sisters, not only are we family, but if God loves us, remember John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that includes you and me, all of humanity, if we are to follow him, that means we have to have a love for one another. And this is where the fun begins. God is calling us to love one another, and he set the standard. It's not our standard, it's his. And so Paul is going to, you know, continue to show us this standard, but I want you to understand that Jesus himself said this to his disciples: a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. There's the standard. That you also may love one another. By this, all will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So this is what Paul is getting ready to expound on. Therefore, knowing this, that we belong to God's family, knowing that we have now have the ability to put the old nature to rest and walk in the new, therefore, because of this, as God's elect or as believers in Christ, Paul is reminding us that our lives should be a life devoted to being holy. This word holy speaks of being set apart for his personal use. And so I don't want us to make the same mistake as the nation of Israel did. It's amazing to me as you study through the book of Exodus. And by the way, listen, I want to invite you out to our Wednesday night Bible study. We're going through the book of Exodus right now. We just covered chapter 3, or we're in chapter 3 right now. Come on out. I guarantee you, as you come, you're going to be blessed by the Lord. Okay, so it's just a personal invitation to you to come on out and join us. But listen, as God delivered his people out of Egypt, his promise was to take them into the land of flowing of milk and honey, to deliver them and give them their own land. And it's sad to see that it took 40 years for them to experience it. God never intended it that way, but why did it take so long? Because his own people fell into that mistake of doubting God and also looking backwards, looking back at what they used to have in Egypt. Whenever they would come up against a difficulty, they would start complaining. I want us to understand, you know, we can't, as believers in Christ, please don't make that same mistake of looking back. Don't ever think that what you had in the past is far greater than what you have now in Christ. This is a saying that's worth repeating over and over again. But when you look backwards, again, you'll never be able to move forward. And the reality is that none of us in this room can do anything about what we did yesterday. You can't change it. You can't go back in time. But the difference comes in what we do today. And so we're holy. We're called to be holy. God's desire is that we would be set apart for him. And then here's the other thing that Paul reminds us of. You're beloved. You're loved by God. You know, as Guy mentioned, and you've heard me say this before, why does he always say beloved? Because you're loved. I don't want you to ever forget that. And I understand, because sometimes when I take a second and think for a minute and look at me, like, God, why would you love me? I know who I am. But please, don't ever think that God does not love you. And one of the things that I pray that you would see as his beloved, that you are important, you are significant, and he has a plan for each and every one of you. That's good, amen. Right? And so, as children of God, what is Paul exhorting us to do? Imitate Jesus. When he tells us to put on, this is another way for him saying, as we now walk with the Lord, we are to live out who he is. We're to live out those things that he's teaching us. And this doesn't happen overnight. And if we are just flat out honest and real, some of the things that God will ask us to do is against our nature. So it's tough. It's not easy, but it's not impossible. And so as we walk with Jesus, these are the things that he wants us to put into practice. And if we do, listen, follow this list compared to the other list that we just checked out in the last two studies. Listen, I don't want anything to do with those two other lists. I hope you don't either. Maybe you do. I don't know. Come on now. That last list wasn't all great. Okay, thank you. Wow. I'm going to get Paul back up here. But listen, this list, if we are able to accomplish this with Jesus' help, guess what happens? There won't be any division. There won't be any tearing down. It'll just be God doing an amazing work within a family and watching it grow together. And so if we do, I want you to notice, what is Paul exhorting us to do? What are we to put on? How are we to live? With a heart that is filled with tender mercies. In other words, to have compassion. It's not just feeling bad for someone, but willing to help in whatever ways we can. When we look at what Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 to 23 says, it tells us that God's love never ceases and his mercies never come to an end. His mercies are new every morning. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. And so when we see you know, this first thing of putting on tender mercies, again, be willing to think of other people than other than yourself. Kindness. In short, what does that mean? Benevolence in action. You know, it's not just by coincidence that we had Switchpoint here or that we're even doing the Red Cross blood drive. You know, when God leads you to do something, all we're asking you to do is walk in obedience. And I want you to know what blesses me is, again, the generosity of your hearts to this ministry. The amount of things that we're doing for the kingdom of God, I hope and pray you realize they are a blessing. And I'm going to share a little bit more about it, but, you know, this last Red Cross blood drive, as I went back to donate blood as well, there was a lady there. And as soon as I was done registering, she was behind the counter, and all of a sudden she came out from behind the counter and she said, "Can I give you a hug?" And I'm all like, "Oh, okay." You know? And so, you know, hey, pastor, got to be careful, right? Can't just be hugging on anybody, right? So you do the pastor sideway hug, you know? And she's all like, "You want to know why I asked if I could give you a hug?" And I'm all like, "No." It's like, well, you know, why? And this is what she said. She said, "Because my son was a recipient of blood that was donated. And it saved his life." And I was all like, "That's deep. That's like, yes, right on." And it took, what, 25 minutes of my time to give something that didn't cost me anything? You know, being able to provide for whether it's a Utah Food Bank or Switchpoint, as the Lord leads you, that's what we're asking. Don't do it because you're being, you feel like we're guilting you. We're not guilting anybody. You do as the Lord leads you. And as you give, this is the blessings. Those acts of kindness come pouring out. And it's not because we're trying to get points from God. "Did you see what I did?" But it has everything to give God glory and honor. And so not all giving, listen, money is not always the answer. Understand that there are other ways that we can give: your time, volunteering. Sometimes some of the greatest ministry that you'll ever come across is the power of presence. Just being with somebody in their time of need. Having a person to hug. Having a shoulder to cry on. Sometimes those are more powerful than anything that we could ever say. When a person is in shock, they just need to know somebody's there. And so the next thing that Paul is exhorting us to do, put on humility. I would encourage you, write this scripture down. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 is an amazing definition of humility. It's a lowly attitude towards God and people. One of the things that I pray we would never do here in this fellowship is ever think that we are above another person. This is what I want you to know. There's been several times where people have asked me to pray, and I take that to heart. I'm so thankful that people would allow me the blessing of praying for them. And sometimes they'll say things like this: "You know, I came to you, Pastor, because I know you're a lot closer to God than I am." Like, no. I cringe when I hear people say that. You want to know why? Because God hears your voice just as he does mine. I am not above you. We're all, listen, brothers and sisters trying to figure out how to walk with God. And so never look and think we're above anybody. Meekness. It's having a gentle attitude and behavior in contrast to harshness. But please don't mistake this word for weakness. One of the things that God has called us to do is to refrain from reacting in ways that are harsh. I don't know about you, but sometimes I can struggle with this. Sometimes the people that I love the most seem to be the ones I lash out at the most. You know, I could be here all day and be really patient with you and with anybody who wants to have counseling. And sometimes I fail to do that to my wife. I'm human. I don't intend to do it. I don't plan to do it. So you guys need to pray for my wife, because I could be a jerk sometimes. One of the things that I was reminded of about meekness is that even though you may have the power or the authority, you keep it under control and you don't flex it for the sake of just proving your point. Let me give you an example. When I was, you know, back at my mom's place before I was a believer, I knew a few guys that were a part of gangs. And this one, his name was Johnny, and he's a pretty big dude. Been locked up before. He came out. We were hanging out on the block. And sure enough, we walked down to the liquor store, and there was another young guy who was trying to be hard. And he just started mad-dogging my partner. And I'm all like, oh, this dude's going to get knocked out, like easy. And so my buddy Johnny looked over at him, just kind of gave him a little look and just goes, ain't worth it. Ain't worth it. And we walked away. And what was he saying? I don't need to prove who I am. I know who I am. I'm not going to let this little thug tempt me to do something I know I'm going to get in trouble for. Meekness is being able to refrain from doing some damage. And it's not a sign of weakness. And I hope and pray you understand that that applies to us today. Because we're all still a work in progress, some of us are going to want to flex at times. Refrain. Don't do it. Remember, extend grace. Long-suffering and bearing with one another. These two kind of go together, but it's being patient with one another. It's enduring with one another. And that's actually a nice way of saying, guess what? We're stuck with each other. If you and I can remember this golden rule, we're going to do really well as a church. But in a body of Christ, listen, this is just second service, and we have different age levels here. We have different personalities here. You have different teams that you like. And I pray for you. We have difference of opinion on food. I pray for you. But I'm not going to take that personally because it's a non-salvation issue. And so if we are able to, as a family, again, we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and even though we have all of these different opinions and different personalities, this is here. Listen, remember this. We are all misfits. We're all imperfect. So don't, you know, that whole aspect of, you remember what Jesus said? Why are you trying to take the speck out of your brother's eye when you got this big old 2x4 out of yours? Remember that. And then when he says here to forgive one another, how many of you agree with me? That's hard. Amen. Right? Some of you who didn't raise your hand, I understand. You're a little afraid. But it's hard. It's not always easy. It's a whole different ballgame between men and women when there needs to be some forgiveness. Would you agree? Yeah. I remember watching a movie once where these two guys were at it, and whenever they would see each other, they would always fist fight. And one day, one guy did an act of kindness to the other, gave him something that they had always been fighting about, and he was working on his boat, and then the guy comes walking in, and he just looks at him, and then he picks up a tool, and they both start working on the boat. What just happened? Reconciliation. Without even a word, us men got it. That's what I'm talking about. You women have to explain everything. I'm going to get myself in trouble. I'm going to stop right there. Oh, my goodness. I went off the deep end. Okay, here we go. Here's the key when it comes to forgiveness. This is what I want us to understand. In order for us to accomplish it, this is what will help. When we understand how much God's forgiven us. Because if we can come back to that true perspective, then again, we can forgive. But let me clear up some misunderstanding about forgiveness. Forgiveness does not mean that you just forget about what happened to you. That's not forgiveness. What we need to understand is this. God does not ever expect anyone to be taken advantage of or harmed. And so if anybody has ever done you wrong and hurt you, true forgiveness is handing over the wrong into God's hands and letting God be their judge, not you. Set yourself free from it. Give it to the Lord. Now, when the Bible says that we're called to forgive, yes. But that doesn't mean that the person who hurt you, that once they say, I'm sorry, that all of a sudden you're BFFs. You now have the ability to forgive, but you control the line of how deep and how far that person comes into your friendship. You need to understand this because it's so important that that line is to protect your heart. You can forgive and be a casual friend. Hello, be kind to one another. But the other thing that needs to take time is to build that trust back up. Don't ever say, you need to forgive me. Be careful. Because again, that trust has been broken. There's a line that somebody's crossed. And God doesn't just want us to say, you know, you're forgiven and then you think nothing ever will happen of it. He wants to protect your heart. So give it to him. Let him be the one to heal your heart. Let him be the one to decide where that line is. You can still be casual brothers and sisters in the Lord, but again, trust it with the Lord and watch him develop in you how to forgive. Because nobody should ever be have that heavy on their heart. You need to surrender it and give it to the Lord. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. When we do learn how to forgive, this is how we mimic. This is how we copy what Jesus would have done. And even though this is a tough list, beloved, listen carefully. It's not one that's impossible. And so Paul now goes on to help us see how these things are possible in verse 14. Notice what it says here. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. So Paul now, his point is here. That love, and this love is speaking of God's kind of love. It's the agape love. And if our life is led by love the way Jesus loved us, then guess what? There's going to be harmony between us. There's going to be a oneness in our hearts and mind that we would want to do all that God is asking of us. If we as a church today would have a oneness in heart like the church did in the book of Acts, do you remember when the church was birthed, how they would gather together, and I want to develop this picture because in the very beginning, when Peter preached that first gospel message, 3,000 people got saved, okay? They had no church building. They didn't even have a board of elders. They didn't have a worship team. They didn't have anything. So what was their hearts hungry for? It was the word of God. They gathered together daily for what purpose? For the apostles to share their doctrine, to share the word of God, to share about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They were hungry for the word. They took communion together. Communion is that time of remembering what Jesus did, keeping our hearts focused on what matters most. It was Jesus' shed blood that has given us peace with God now. It's all what he did. And the other promise of communion is that he's going to return one day. We're under grace, not the law. Jesus actually was the fulfillment of the law. So we get to remember all that Jesus has done. And then the church gathered together to pray for each other. To pray for God's will to be done. Then the church also had fellowship with one another. Now, I'm super blessed to see you here this morning. But now it's time to talk to those who are watching online. So let me have a moment with them. So I don't know what camera it is, if it's this one, or this one. But we love you, and this is what I want everyone to understand. The purpose of us live streaming our service is for those who do not have the ability to be here. Whether they're in the hospital, whether they are bedridden for a little while, recovering from surgery, accidents, childbirth, whatever. That's what it's intended for. So if you have the capability and you're sitting at home right now and you're looking at the screen going, oh, I'm about ready to click you off. Just hear my heart, and that is this. We love you, and we want to see you here with us instead of you being in your pajamas at home.
Amen.
I love you enough to say it. If you have the capability of being here, don't miss out. Be here with us as the body of Christ, because this is where we encourage one another. And I'm not saying you can't be encouraged. I'm just saying when you're here, it's a much different experience. And so my heart to you all, come be a part of this. Don't just sit at home. I'll see how many emails I get from that one. The reality is this. When you put all of these things together and we have this one heart and wanting to fill it with Jesus, wanting to remember what he's done, praying for God's will to be done, fellowshipping with one another, when we do all of this, these are acts of love. And it is love. It is love. Love is the bond. It is the glue that keeps the unity of what God wants to do here. And so I want us to see this in action because, again, it's not just my opinion. Turn your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That's to the left. You're going to pass a couple of books. You're going to go past Galatians and Romans. Oh, no, not Romans. Before Romans is 1 Corinthians. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I want to begin in verse 1. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not loved, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Now here is love in action. Love suffers long, and it's kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Highlight this, love never fails. Amen. See, this is one of the reasons why throughout 2023, I have been asking and challenging us as a church to love well. When we love well, this is the behavior that we give. This is what comes out of our life. But the key thing is it starts with God. If you don't ever experience God's unconditional love, then you and I will not know how to love each other. Because the reality is this, our love has conditions. And when you don't meet those conditions, then we cut you off. We're living in a society right now that cancel, whatever you call it. You know what's funny? I saw a picture of an old school yearbook, and it said, this is how we used to cancel people in our day, and it just scribbled out their photo. It's hilarious. But people just turn their back. You don't agree with me? You're done. That's not how we're to treat one another, especially in here. Family's family, and not every family is perfect. We all have our dysfunctions. But if we're going to be walking with Christ, then we need to apply these things to one another. And so love never fails. And when we love Jesus, there will be unity. We will have love for one another. Notice what verse 15 says. Let's go back to Colossians. Verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. And so this peace is referring to peace with one another. Listen, we get peace when we make a confession of faith with God. We become right in that relationship. We have this personal relationship, and that's major peace. But the peace that Paul is exhorting us to have is now with one another. And again, with a church this size, that we are bound, listen carefully, to have those moments when there's not peace. There are going to be issues in this church. And I just want to tell you right now, there is no such thing as a perfect church. If you leave this church to find one and you think you're at one, here's my counsel to you. Don't go, because you're going to mess it up. We all have our baggage. We all have our issues. And so the reality is, here is what I'm asking of us, and I'm begging you to do this. Because again, God's put us together for this season for us to learn together. We're all trying to put away that old nature and now live for Jesus. So what am I asking of you? That if you ever get upset with somebody in this fellowship, please do me a favor. Do not, listen, do not, size 40, big, bold letters, do not go venting on social media. Please do not start dropping names of people and blasting them for everybody to read about it. Don't go and tell other people without doing what the Bible says to do. That's gossip. And on the flip side, if anybody comes up to you and then all of a sudden starts to drop a name, just, hey, time out, wait a minute. If you're about to drop somebody's name here and they're not here, have you talked to them first? That will put an end to gossiping. Don't go around and telling people your side of the story. And if you do, just remember this. Here's a bit of counsel to you. Counseling 101. There's two sides to every story. And just because the person comes to you first doesn't mean you believe everything they say. Oh, well, you know, they're my best friend. Mm-hmm. You'll discover how much stories change in the presence of people. I want to encourage you to do what the Bible says to do. And what is that? Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. If you know you have an issue with your brother, if there's an offense, if there's something that has broken the harmony in your fellowship, go directly to that brother and talk with them. Not with anybody else. Talk with them. And as you do that, listen carefully. Then you can come back and worship the Lord. The first goal is to be reconciled with one another. You know, I understand that sometimes there's complications and they're not going to always be reconciled on that moment at that time. It takes time. But there's a way to be at peace with people that doesn't hinder your heart from hearing from God. And this is what the scripture is asking us to do. Don't keep going on acting like everything's okay. If something's bothering you, don't let it sit in your heart and fester. Go deal with it. Be willing to sit down and give a phone call and say, like I have asked you to do with me. You have an issue with me? Come, my door's open. But what are you supposed to lead off with? Not a burrito. That helps. If you come at me, if I disappoint you, listen, this is what I ask of you. You know I love you, right? You know I love you. See, when you start off in that way, it helps my heart to know I just need to listen. But if you just come at me sideways and just start going off on me, it's going to be a little bit harder for me to receive. I'm human just like you. I won't hit you. But I'm just telling you, when you start off in that way, it helps me to understand you got something on your heart that you need to tell me. So if you notice there's something going on between you and another brother and sister, I want you to first, before you set this meeting up, pray and ask the Lord, is this just me? And if it's not me, if there is truly an issue, then give me the words to speak to my brother and sister. Now, if you ever get the phone call and say, hey, can we hook up? Can we have a cup of coffee? I'd really love to talk to you. And you're like, okay. What do I want you to do? The same thing. Pray. Ask the Lord to give you an open heart. Ask the Lord to just listen to what the person's about to say. And as they open up their heart and as they pray or as they share with you what's going on, then you have the ability to take it in and ask the Lord, is there any truth in this? And if so, what would be the proper thing to do? This is my bad. I am so sorry. I didn't ever meant to make you feel that way. Because I guarantee you, if we did it the biblical way, then there would probably be less church splits. When we both are seeking the Lord, God will help you come to a resolution. Now, I wish I could tell you that it always happens that way, but there are going to be times when you still disagree. And when that time happens, this is what the counsel I want to give you. We need to learn how to disagree agreeably. That means though we don't see eye to eye, but I still love you as a brother and sister. Bring it into practical realities. Just because some of you in here are cowboy haters, I still love you. See? It's a mutual understanding. Nobody's offended. But I just want to say this. I want to thank all of you for not blowing up my phone when they lost. I appreciate that. I love you guys. But you get my point, right? There's times that we just need to learn how to disagree agreeably. Sometimes you and I and the world and even us within this church are making so much of a stink over non-essentials that we ruin and we mess up what God wants to do within the body of Christ. So we need to learn how not to let the enemy have that foothold. Verse 16 and 17, let the word of God, the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And so as we look at these last two verses, here's my in closing, right? May we fill our hearts. May the word of God dwell richly in you. Listen, there is no shortcuts to us growing in Christ. We need to put in the work. And that work is not to gain salvation. It's to know God's heart. We need to be able to fill our hearts with more of him as often as we can. And I shared this with you last week. That old nature, it wants to pop its ugly head as often as it can. But when we keep filling our heart with more and more of God's word, when we keep filling our heart with some amazing worship songs that get our hearts centered on Christ, when your heart is so filled and so on fire and so, God's word is implanting in there, it bears fruit and it will grow. And what people see is Jesus, not us. That's the goal. So some of you, like, Pastor, I don't like reading. Hey, you know how easy it is? There's audio Bibles. Just download an app and you can hear it. Put headphones on. Listen to it in your car. People will read to you. Oh, Pastor, I get tired of reading. Well, get a nice playlist. You know, if you guys are interested, one of the songs that's ministering to my heart right now is called Sing God. I don't know who is it by, you know? I think it's by Elevation Church. I don't know, whatever. But that song is I asked Jesse to learn it. So, by the way, pray for him. No, 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 not negative. I don't know. Listen, you guys saw him sitting down, right? For those of you who don't know, a few weeks ago, I think it was, he was playing soccer and he tore his ACL and meniscus, I think. So he's going to need to have surgery. So be praying for him. We're gonna beat him up later and just tell him not to play soccer anymore, but we'll take care of him. But just pray for him, okay? And so, you know, one of the things that I think is so important for us right now, and that is this, the more that we keep filling our hearts with more and more, listen, notice the words that Paul gives us concerning the Word of God. It's where you find wisdom. I'm telling you right now, I need that. How about, you know, does the Word of God teach you? Absolutely. The Scriptures tell us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that all of God's Word is God-breathed. It's inspired. He penned it specifically for us. For what purpose? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, to equip us for what? To be the men and God, the men and women that will deliver his righteousness, that will live out that righteousness. He's given us his word so that with any issue of life that we go through, God's word has an answer. When we're filling our heart, then the next thing that happens, we experience God's agape love, which then will overflow to one another. But here's the other thing, having a heart of gratitude. Isn't it so true that when you've been forgiven much, you love much? And the reality is that, listen carefully, we need to start coming into this fellowship as a family of God, and we need to start giving God his proper reverence. We need to come into this place with great expectation that we're going to meet with him, that we would come into this place. Listen, don't come in here just whatever. I want to challenge us with this. Okay. Can you imagine if Jesus was here physically and you knew it? Would you be on time? Those of you who are sitting in the back would probably want to sit in the front. Some of you who never raise your hands during worship would all of a sudden, both hands. Some of you who never say anything and laugh at my corny jokes, you'll say, "Amen, preach it, Pastor." If Jesus was physically here, would our attitude change? See, beloved, I'm asking us not to come into this place and just play church. It's time for us to be the church. It's time for us to start taking our walk seriously. And when we do feel, and when we do come in here with that right heart and attitude, and when we discover what God has done for us, then the natural response is we're going to love the way that he's loved us. That's my point. And so I want you to understand that whatever we do in word or in deed, we do it in Jesus' name. So in other words, with every circumstance, with every conversation, with everything that we do in our lives, we want people to see Jesus. And when our hearts are so filled, listen, when our hearts are filled that way, how many of you have started hearing about what's happening in the universities with this revival going on? Let me see, show of hands. Why do things like that happen? Because people's hearts are surrendered. People's hearts are not looking for anything other than Jesus. And people's hearts are not wanting to be distracted by anything of this world, and they're giving that time to the Lord. And God's doing some great things in this, you know, movement right now, whatever you want to call it. It started with just a simple Bible study. And from that Bible study, it has not stopped. And we're seeing young hearts, which is an amazing thing, because we're not going to be here forever. In the next 20 to 30 years, you guys know this, we're going to be gone. And we want to see this church continue to excel and continue to be, you know, preaching the word of God. And it's only going to happen if we are not only praying, not only coming together as a family, not only building up and encouraging one another. And listen, God's doing a work in this fellowship, whether you believe it or not. I just came back from Mexico. I went there, flew out Friday, came home late last night. Why was I there? Because many of you know we have been planning and preparing for our missions conference for high school students and young adults. The previous year, you know, was our first one after coming off of COVID. And we had maybe about 45 to 50 people. This time around, because of everybody who went to the first one, started passing the word around, we had over 80 students this time. And some of you, when we announced it, you prayed, God led, some of you gave finances to help sponsor a couple of our youth. Listen, you prayed. I put a video out 2 hours before I was getting ready to teach. And I appreciate all of the little thumbs up and the little hearts on the social media. That was cool. But thank you for praying. On this first night of being able to preach the word of God, sharing from John 3:16, where once again, it all starts off with love. If we love like Christ loves, then we're going to love everybody and we're not going to see color. If we're loving like Jesus, the only thing that matters is this. There's only two kinds of people. God sees hearts. And what does he see? Those who know him and those who don't. That's all God sees. And if we're not educating, and if we're not pouring out that same love upon our youth, culture's going to get them. The TV is going to get them. What they're hearing in their high schools and their campuses is going to get them. But if they know the truth, then this is the truth that all of us need to live. And I want to thank, again, each and every one of you. I have just a small, we didn't have a whole lot of time to put this together. Actually, I didn't even do it. I asked one of the guys to do it. But it's just a small little video. And I want you to see, this is what we have been praying for. This is what we hope and pray that God would do, just like in these campuses, to doing what is important in our own youth group. And at this conference, again, there was only two churches from the States, us and a church in Vegas. The rest were all from the local churches there in Mexico. And I want you just to see some of the little fruit and the smiles that I believe God is going to stir into their hearts and, Lord willing, plant them somewhere for them to continue to share the gospel. So I just want to show this little video real quick. This, if you believe it or not, these are how revivals take place. When hearts are gathered together, and again, we may look at this and go, no big deal. Oh, it is a big deal. Because those 80 plus students rather to be in God's word and opening up their Bibles than being caught up in some video game. Than hanging out on the block with somebody else doing God knows what they shouldn't be doing. And some of you might be thinking, well, you know, that's cool. But do you realize that some of these students that are there have it even more challenging than our own high school students here in the States? See, I don't think any of us have ever had the problem of drug lords coming into your community and having a gunshot, you know, gun battle. I don't think any of us in here in St. George have ever experienced that. Now, if you come from California, that's a different story. But I don't know what you saw. But for me, I've been a part of youth ministry for a long time. And having conferences like this and having an opportunity to share in front of the students, day one is always the difficult one because people are there sometimes and they don't have a right heart. It takes usually about 2 to 3 days for them to start realizing they don't need a cell phone. It takes a few days for them to realize, hey, this is far greater than what I have at home. Because they're constantly being consumed and constantly being poured into the Word of God. But on this night, on the very first night, in the same way that God poured out His Spirit the other day and we asked people to walk forward, we don't do that. But on that day, when people responded to that same call, at the end of the message on Friday, I made it very clear. I don't want anybody standing up out of pressure, but I want you to stand up. If God's been ministering to your heart and you want to answer that call, and you may not know what that calling is, but you're saying, here, my Lord, stand up. And on that night, 6 students stood up. This is the first night. And in those 6 students, I prayed over them. We're going to continue to encourage them. And then when they sat down, I looked at the rest of the group and I said, now I'm going to pray for you. Because God wants you. And I want to encourage you, don't fight. I want to encourage you that God loves you and God has a plan for you. And there are no limits to where God can take you. And even in Mexico, you want to hear some amazing news? That there's actually a church that some of these kids are going to. People from Mexico are getting ready to take a trip to North Africa to be missionaries. Wow. When we're loving Jesus, this is what happens. When we're loving Jesus the way that He deserves it, God brings our hearts together and we literally do become a family. And part of that family, we're going to have our bumps, beloved. But if we can always remember to extend grace and mercy the way that God has extended to us, we're going to do well. The challenge for us is to continue to love well throughout 2023. Another confirmation, it's all about love. Again, not our love, but it's God's love. And in order for us to make a difference right now in our world, we need God to lead us in this love. Can I get an amen for that?
Amen.
Amen. Worship team, come forward. Father, I want to thank you so much for this time, and I want to thank you for your word. And I do pray, God, that we would all continue to trust in you and that we would give you the rest of this day, that we would give you our hearts, that, God, we would want to see you being exalted. I thank you for the work that you're doing at the Just Go Conference, and I do continue to pray for each and every one of those students. God, would you reveal to them their own special calling? Would you, Lord, help them to see that no matter where they live, that you can use them for your glory? May we today as a family be thankful for the gift of everlasting life. May we be thankful that you've given us the power and the ability to say no to darkness, to be set free from our old nature. And as we live for you today, Lord, teach us, show us your ways. We need more of you. Father, we're human. We make mistakes, and you know that. But help us today to extend that love and grace to one another. I'm so thankful for this body, and I'm so thankful for the work that you're doing in and through this fellowship. And so I pray more of you, Jesus, and less of us. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I just want to give an opportunity right now. Maybe you're here for the first time, or maybe you've never made a decision to follow Christ. And I just want to encourage you, today's the day. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. None of us are guaranteed the next 30 minutes. And if we just look back in the news, and this earthquake that took place and took over 30-something thousand lives, we never know what's going to happen in a day. But I do know this, that God loves you today. And God desires that you would be with Him for all eternity. And it's just a simple prayer. It's believing in what Jesus did on the cross. His death paid the penalty of sins. His resurrection proved that he conquered over Satan, sin, death, and the grave. As he rose from the dead, it's a picture for us to see when we give him our hearts, that we will be set free from our old nature, that we would put it to rest. And as he rose again on the third day, we would now live in that new nature. And if this is you today, God's promise is you receive him, he will walk with you. And he will lead you into receiving the greatest reward ever, and that's eternal life. So as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I don't want you to worry about who's next to you. This is a moment between you and God and no one else. And if you have a desire this morning to receive Christ into your life, please do me a favor and just raise your hand high so I can see it, because it would be an honor to pray for you. Praise the Lord. I see your hands here, off in the center, to my right, to the left. Thank you so much for raising your hands. Anyone else? Toward the back of my right, to the left, over in the back. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Anyone else? Praise the Lord. I see your hand toward the center. This is an amazing opportunity for all of us to hear and to see God moving, stirring hearts. Remember, he loves you. And if you're afraid to lift your hand, we know, we understand, we've all been there. But it would be the best decision ever for you to make. One more minute. Father, I want to thank you so much for the hands that were raised. And I pray right now, Lord, that even if there were some who didn't, I want to encourage you with this. You can still pray. It's not the raising of your hand that saves you. It's your heart. So it's an open invitation. So if anybody would like to make this prayer sincere between you and God, just repeat this with me. Repeat this prayer. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross. And I've learned today that he died for the sins of the world. And so, God, I come before you and I confess that I've sinned. Will you please forgive me? Jesus, thank you for dying for me. And today I believe by faith in your death and resurrection. I believe by faith that my sins are forgiven and I can have peace with God. Lord, would you please come into my life and help me from this day forward to live for you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, listen, for those of you who made that prayer sincere between you and the Lord, I want to be the first to say congratulations. You made the best decision ever. The Bible says that when one person confesses that Jesus is Lord, there's a party going on in heaven. Well, there's a few parties happening right now. I want to encourage you with this. If you made that prayer sincere between you and the Lord, I want to invite you up. We're all going to stand. We're going to worship the Lord together. But as you stand up and as you come forward, we have off to my left Pastor Guy here, and he's going to walk you over into our little hallway. We want to make sure that as you start this new relationship with the Lord, that you have a Bible. And if you already have a Bible, he's just going to explain to you where to start reading. We're going to invite you to be a part of our foundation classes so that you can learn more about this new relationship with the Lord. And then he's just going to pray for you, okay? It's not, we're going to, you know, have you be a member of this church. We don't have membership, okay? It's just to encourage you and to send you off in a way that's going to set you up for victory. And so please do that. Don't leave without seeing him. If you have any prayers today, we're going to have a prayer team up here. Same thing. We all need it. Let's take advantage of it. We have team members here that would love to serve you in that way. And I hope and pray that as a body of Christ, as a family, we would keep loving each other. God bless you guys and have a wonderful Sunday.